We've all heard it thrown around a ton out there in the business world in articles, from books and all kinds of stuff, is A players. What is an A player when you're hiring someone? Are you an A player? So in this episode, this is the second in a series on hiring and how to build out your team, how to build an amazing team that really helps you march toward your mission, how to recruit A players, what do A players look for, what should you ask them, things like that. So this is the second one. If you didn't listen to the first episode of the Carrot Cast in this hiring series, the first one was about how do you identify the roles that you actually need to fill in the company to scale it up in a way to where it is going to really put you in a position where you do the best work you do, where you do work that you really enjoy. Check out that one. That one is right before this one in the series. So look at it in iTunes or go to carrotcast.com. This one's going to be about hiring A players once again. So we're going to talk about how do you find them? How does our interview process work to really filter through people in a way to where at the back end of you've got amazing, amazing prospects, but the hiring process really automated 80% of it. And then also, what do you need to do to where A players would actually want to work for you? Because that's the biggest thing that I think a lot of people don't look at, is they're all looking for this magic bullet of an amazing hiring process, but they don't really structure their business in a way to where amazing people actually want to come work for them. So I'm going to walk you through what we do here at Carrot to do that. So without further ado, let's dive into this episode in the series of hiring, episode 2. I think I'm going to dub this series of productivity, this series of hiring episodes of our podcast, The Carrot Cast, the truck talks, all right? Because I'm on a drive right now. I'm probably not going to get them all recorded in the truck, but I'm on a drive right now back from Klamath Falls, Oregon, which is where I grew up. It's where my parents live, my wife's parents live. I've got a brother and his family there. I own some real estate there, some apartments, a vacation home. But also, my alma mater, Oregon Tech, Oregon Institute of Technology, is in Klamath Falls. It's an amazing, amazing school. It's one of the top schools in the West Coast, especially for engineering, computer science, all things technical. And I had a chance the last couple of days to hang out with a bunch of students and talk entrepreneurship and whatever. So I'm driving back home about 45 minutes away from home. But I recorded an episode here a bit ago. You're either going to listen to it later or earlier than this. I'm not sure when we're going to release all these, on hiring. And I'm going to do a whole series on hiring because I put out a question to Facebook about what you guys would like to hear me talk about, kind of from my experiences. And overwhelmingly, there are a lot of people asking about delegation, about hiring, how, you know, the processes, screening, stuff like that, how to hire rock stars. So I'll do a short little series of shorter podcasts here. Hopefully you get some nuggets out of them. The last episode, if you didn't listen to it, was talking all about the way that we make sure that we're hiring the right people as far as the way we work match. Okay, we use something called the Colby score. Check out the other episode that talks about the Colby score, that talks about the importance of what your score and your team member scores should be, how to work with that, and how to find amazing people and make sure you're putting them in the right role so they can succeed. Okay, so this one is going to be about hiring rock stars. Now, that's something that several people in that Facebook thread had put in there. How do you hire rock stars? How do you find them? How do you screen them before, during, after the hiring process? And I'm going to be honest here. I still think I'm very amateur at this, okay? I haven't hired 100 people, so there's no way I'm going to say that I am the expert in this. I'm probably more experienced in it than a lot of people, and not as experienced as a ton of people. But I think one thing I've been fortunate at with my companies is the people that we have hired are all pretty darn amazing. You know, they're pretty darn amazing. Now, there's definitely some things I would do differently next time around, or that I am doing differently now. Some lessons I've learned that we'll all be teaching you some of these on these episodes in this series, the truck talks, the hiring truck talks. But in general, you know, we found some things that work pretty darn well. So
The first thing I want to toss out there is that if people are looking for this magical hiring process where I'm going to give you a Google Drive document, and it's going to walk you through this system and five questions to ask and send them through this qualification process and this and that, and then magically out the other end, it's going to spit out an amazing rock star employee. That's not what I'm going to give you here. And I honestly don't know if that exists. Okay. You definitely can create a system or borrow someone's system that gives you ways to screen and ways to filter people. Okay. You can definitely borrow people's systems on how do you create a multiple step hiring process to filter people out, so it doesn't take a ton of your time interviewing a lot of people. Okay. And I'll talk about what our process is here. All right, so you can borrow that. And if we're able to, I might even find a way to get it online. No guarantees, because there's some parts of it that are kind of proprietary that we don't want just out there for everyone to download. But the majority of it, honestly, is what I'm going to call the hard work. It's the foundational work, okay? First of all, you've got to create a place that people want to work for, okay? It doesn't matter how damn slick your hiring process is and these fancy-dancy questions you're asking people and all this clever shit that you're throwing in there. It doesn't matter how awesome that stuff is if you don't have a place that people genuinely want to work for. Now, how do you create a place that people genuinely want to work for? The first part, I mean, these are just off the top of my head in no particular order, but the first part is you've got to really give a damn. Like, you've got to really care, and that person has to honestly see that you care about them. Okay, it can't be something that you're just filling this role or filling this gap, and they know it. They know that you're just checking a box and saying, man, I got to fill this role, and the first warm body that passes these qualifications I'm putting in there. If that person feels like that, then they're not connecting to your business at their core, and you're not going to get the most out of them. They're not going to get the most out of you know, the most fulfillment out of the job with you. And they're probably not going to be with you very long. They're probably going to be 6 months in looking for another job because they're going, man, this job checks every box on there. You know, it's a good job, pays me well, I enjoy the work, but I'm not feeling the connection. I'm not feeling it. You know, this is a good example with my wife. She's insanely good at what she does in the medical field. She loved her job. She loved her work. She loved her patients. She loved her craft. But the place to work was a really, really bad place to work. Okay. And it was high turnover in that company. And there were certain reasons. I think that the owner was really well-intentioned. I actually liked him as a person, but he was just a really, really bad leader. The communication in the office was really, really bad. I think that the leaders just assumed that everyone could read everyone's minds, or at least could read his mind. And there was not an importance on communication. And most of the people in this office were women. So that was a massive mistake on his end to really not focus on communication well. Okay. So anyway, you can definitely have everything check the box, but if you're not connecting at the core with that person, it's an amazing place to work, then you're already dead in the water. So how do you make an amazing place to work? Well, there's lots of examples of this, you know, of companies that have done all kinds of things, and especially in the kind of new age business world that we're in, where, you know, you're not a cool company unless you have a ping pong table, the prototypical ping pong table, or the catered lunches, or whatever it is. You know, that's kind of the world that we live in now, especially in the tech world. Now we've got a ping pong table, so don't hate on us for that. I honestly don't use it as much as I should, or I'd like to. I've used other people's ping pong tables in their other offices more than we've used our own, which is a bummer. But there are certain things like that. Like, what does the workplace look like? Okay. So is the workplace virtual? If it's a virtual workplace where you guys are all distributed across the country and everyone works out of their own home or their car, cool. That gives them flexibility, but you're going to have some issues. You're going to have some things you've got to make sure that you tie down to make a great place to work. Okay. Because sometimes your work actually is harder to create a great company culture, to create a great place that people look forward to getting up every day in the morning and going toward a common mission with their team members. So you got to work on it. Okay. How do we do that virtually? Because half of our staff is in our office and half isn't. You got to nail your communication channel, first of all. You know, how do you guys communicate? What's your communication cadence? You can't just communicate whenever a message has to be said. You can't just do it willy-nilly. There has to be a cadence that can get momentum and keep momentum. With us, kind of what we've settled into right now is we have our Monday team huddle at 11 o'clock Pacific time, and we have a couple guys on the East Coast. We have our Friday bookend call, kind of a recap, and you know, what kind of bottlenecks did you have that we can help you with? What wins, successes, anything else to bring up? That's usually 15, 20 minutes. The Monday call is a 20-minute call with 10 minutes of overrun for conversation about things that were not on the agenda. And on that call, we first dive into good news. So let's share awesome things that happened. You know, it could be business, personal, whatever. That really helps us all to get to know what each other are doing and just kind of stay, you know, stay in touch with what each other are doing personally. We always make sure that people have their faces on the Google Hangouts when we do a Google Hangout for that Monday team check-in. It can't just be a written thing or a phone call thing. We really want to see people's faces. It adds humanity to that transaction or to that relationship, okay? The next thing we dive into is KPIs. So there's certain key performance indicators that in order to grow a team, people have to know what their scorecard is. People have to know what success means in their role. So you've got to come up with some sort of key performance indicators that indicate whether they're succeeding in their role or not. Because if no one can tell or can track whether they're succeeding or not, it becomes very, very, it's not something that's motivating. It's demotivating because they just feel like, man, I'm just doing my work. I feel like I'm doing good work, but I can't really tell, you know, if the bosses think I'm doing good work or, you know, how do I get a bonus or stuff like that. So you got to have key KPIs and put people in charge of ownership of those KPIs, that they understand their job is to do X, you know, X, Y, Z in that KPI each month or each quarter. And if they excel, awesome. They're going to be handsomely rewarded, maybe with bonuses or something like that. If they continually and consistently fail at them, then, of course, it's probably not a fit for the company. And there needs to be a very clear expectation, even if it's an amazing person, that's the likely end game if that happens. And that's only, you know, that's only after you've given them a chance and you're trying to structure things and make sure that they're in the right spot, whatever. And then last, we go over our dashboard. And every single company, I feel, should have some sort of a dashboard. If you're a real estate investment company or an agent or a real estate agent, your dashboard is likely, okay, what deals do we have that we're working on? What phases of those deals are we at? Do you need any help to wrap up this part of the deal or this transaction? Hey, you know, I need some help over here. We're almost closing here or whatever. So that's what your dashboard should look like, giving you a quick snapshot of what your current inflow is, your current, you know, funnel of businesses. Here at Carrot, it's our projects, things like that are on our dashboard. And if you're all in person, do it on the whiteboard. I've seen many investors that their dashboard, their kind of war room, is all on a whiteboard that tracks their deals. It's their deal board. Okay, it could be your CRM if you're using Podio, or it could be your project management system like Asana or Basecamp or something like that. Okay, you should have some sort of a dashboard that tracks basically the projects you're working on or the things you're working on as a business and review them on Monday just briefly, okay? And then we wrap it up with any other questions or stuff like that. All right, so you got to have a cadence, and that really helps you to create a great place to work in, okay? So, and I know we were talking about hiring here, but all of this stuff adds into creating a place that people actually want to work for. Okay. Other things you can do to make a great place to work for, that make it easier to hire rock stars, is show them how much they can grow in your company. One thing that I've found is rock stars in general value, they definitely value achievement and compensation. You know, if they're on sales or whatever, they definitely value those things in a big, big way. But what they also value is growth. They really value, am I learning, am I growing as a human being? And we've been fortunate enough to get some amazing people on our team who have no business being employees of Carrot. Like, they have no business. It's just they're overqualified, or they're the type of person I just never would have thought that we could hire or could afford. But they're working for us at a slight pay cut to start. because of the mission that we're on, because they believe in what we're doing, because they believe that being in this environment or being, you know, working with others like myself, that they can grow as a person. And out the other end, over the long term, they're gonna win, even if they took a pay cut up front. Okay. So how can you cast a vision that the people on your team really feel that they're going to be a better human being, better equipped to live the world, better equipped to succeed, better equipped to be happy, better equipped to be more financially free by working for your company versus someone else? Okay. And that's far beyond the paycheck. That's far beyond just the offer that you make them and the paycheck that you can cut. Okay. If that's the case, the next company next door, as long as they're offering more, can hire away all of your employees. And I don't think that's anything that any of us want. So how do we safeguard our rock stars? Well, we got to make sure that they're growing within our organization as a human being. And you know, and you understand, and you ask the questions that what is it that you truly want to do in your life? What is it that you care about? What is it that you want to impact? And then if you can help them impact those things in your business, you are going to win those rock stars. Okay. And you can possibly even do it at a lower rate than they were getting paid to start, and then really scale them up as you're able to make that make sense in your business. Okay. People want to grasp a vision. People want to go somewhere that's interesting. People want to go somewhere that's impactful, and people want to go work for someone in a business that has growth baked in, you know, growth baked in, their own personal growth baked in. Another couple quick things is don't be stingy with your benefits. And I'm not talking like health insurance and stuff like that, because we were able to bring aboard amazing people way before we ever had benefits. Okay. What I'm talking about is other benefits that are a little bit less tangible, like maybe flexible work hours, some flexible workplace. You know, you can work virtually or in the office. Growth things, like some really cheap benefits you can offer people, or buying them books. You know, with Carrot, we buy all of our employees books. You just want a book? Awesome. Let us know what book you want, and we'll order it. And that's going to be in your mailbox in 2 days. And we pay for all that stuff. Unless you're ordering like 100 books a week and you resell them, then that's not cool. But we're going to help you grow. You want to go to a conference to grow as a person, it's also going to help our company? Awesome. We'll likely pay for all or part of it. Okay. There's other growth opportunities in there that we're always trying to find ways to offer. We know that oftentimes the younger generation really cares about making a difference. They want to make an impact, and oftentimes they'll want to make an impact at the expense of their paycheck sometimes, at least to start. Okay. And how do you do that? Well, there's some things that you can do to bake that in. One thing that we've done that the team members who are kind of more cause oriented take us up on is $500. We contribute $500 a year to every single one of our team members' causes that they want to support. So you know, Jen, my assistant, was wanting to support something for her son's school, I think it was, and we supported that. And it was donated in her name. It wasn't donated in Carrot's name so we can sound cool and get a sponsorship. It was donated in her name, so they can feel good about contributing toward this cause. So how can you help your team members or cast that vision that the things they care about, those causes, working for this company is going to help them make a dent in some of those? Okay. Some other things that really help attract those rock stars. And this is something, once again, that I'm learning more and more of this. So I wouldn't say I'm an expert in this, but If you can find people who are young rock stars, okay, people who are budding rock stars, people who you can tell this person is going to be someone in 5 years, this person is going to be someone in 10 years, but they might not quite have the skill set yet, they don't have the experience yet, but you know that you can groom them into something amazing, and you can sell that vision to them that you know that they're going to be something good, you know that they're going to be something big, they're a perfect culture match for your company. Their skill set and their follow through, and you can tell they're going to be a rock star, but they're not quite there yet. Okay, cast that vision to them, because everyone wants to hear, especially the budding rock stars. They want to hear that someone sees that potential in them. Okay, and if you truly see that potential in them, you can get that person into your organization for a really, really affordable rate, because you're not paying rock star prices, because this person's a budding rock star, right? So you can bring them into the organization, take them under your wing, teach them, train them, and mentor them, okay? And there's going to be some work and some time there. But if it's the right person, it's a budding rock star, they are going to excel at a very, very fast pace. You know, that's, you know, people like Alex on my team, and there's other people on the team as well that just budding rock stars. They're not there yet, but they accelerate their learning curve so, so fast. And that person is going to really latch on to you versus just going and taking a paycheck somewhere else. Okay. And that's, you know, the same thing. If you're on a budget and you can't afford paying for these types of people, having that vision for helping to improve their life is something that, that they are going to really value in a big way. Okay. I'm turning off on exit 124 here, passing through downtown Roseburg. Then I'll be in my house in about 10 minutes. I'm going to wrap this puppy up here shortly. This is a shorter episode. But there's some other things to hire rock stars, right? You know, like I said, it's kind of, let me piggyback and finalize the part about creating a great place to work, okay? Now, another thing that rock stars really want to see is they want to have clarity for where we're going. So you've got to have a clear vision for your company, right? You've got to have a clear vision for your company. It's really hard to lock in a rock star if you can't articulate where that company is going and why. If you can't articulate why you exist, if you can't articulate the difference that your business is actually making for your clients and why that matters. And many businesses, and I'm not going to say that you can't hire rock stars if you're not to this phase yet, because it took me years to really hone this for my businesses. And we even just reiterated it with Carrot here the past couple months, is your mission should be something that is big. You know, it can't be, hey, we want to buy houses in Biloxi because we think we can do it well. And we want to provide an honest, ethical solution. To me, those are givens, right? If your mission or your vision are things that should be givens in your business, it's things that every business should strive for, you know, to be honest and ethical, that's probably not your mission and vision. That no way in heck is going to attract a rock star. Okay. So what does? Something that's worthy. You know, we just updated our mission in the company to kind of clarify. It's very along the same tone that it used to be, so it's not completely changing our mission. It was clarifying it and honestly broadening it to make it be a little bit more exciting for us, right? So our new mission is to add humanity back to business and help people regain precious time in their lives for the things that matters. Now, nowhere in that did you hear software. Nowhere in that did you hear real estate. Nowhere in that did you hear leads or lead generation or SEO or any of that. Those are in the vision. So the mission is, why do you exist? What is that why? What is the impact that in a year, 2, 4, 5, 10 years, your business is going to make on the world? That you're going to try to tie everything you do in your business to, and that your whole team can wrap around that mission. How do we add humanity back to business? Well, we're more personal with our clients. We want to have fun with you. We want to, when you contact our support, we want it to be an enjoyable experience. We want you to compare our support to other companies every single time you work with any other company. You could be buying a hamburger for all I care. Our aim is for you to compare every other company to your experience at Carrot and help to up-level what you expect from other companies based on your experience with us. Okay, and if you're listening to this right now, you know, we have an amazing, amazing reputation in our industry for that. We get so many doses of awesomeness sent to us every single day that it's overwhelming that we're doing the right things. But we also got a little bit behind the hiring curve. And not we, I did. I'm going to take that. I'm going to own that one fully. I got behind the hiring curve. So we got in some pinches where, you know, we weren't getting back to some live chats as quick as our expectation is. You know, maybe some of the conversations weren't as deep and meaningful and loving as we want to and as we have in the past. So that mission helps to lock our entire team around why we exist. We're always trying to add humanity back to business. And we want to encourage our customers to do the same thing, because I believe that when business is more human, when people feel like they're not being ignored, when people feel like the business cares about them, that if there's more businesses that do that, that's just going to create nothing but a better world. And the second part of it is to help people regain the precious time for the things that matter in their lives. And that's a big deal. You know, that one to me is a big deal, because I know in my own life, it can be really, really easy to get caught up in all that is growing a business, or all that is an entrepreneur. It's learning, it's hiring, it's this and it's that. And I mean, you could do an 80-hour week every single week if you wanted to. But I don't think that's why any of us became entrepreneurs. You know, we became entrepreneurs for the freedom. We became entrepreneurs for the impact, for our families, to go out there and experience the things that we want to experience. And there's probably a lot of other reasons. But the thing is, most entrepreneurs don't end up experiencing that because we're not intentional enough about it. And I'm definitely guilty of some of that stuff. So, you know, even leading into this year, I'm like, man, this is one of my big aims. I want to regain more time in my life. And I don't even work, you know, 40 hours a week, many weeks. Some weeks I'll work 50 to 60 hours because I'm crunching on a project. But most weeks it's probably 30 to 35. All right, so it's not like I'm crunching 80-hour weeks or like Elon Musk 100-hour weeks, right? But I still found myself in the afternoon just really going, man, we're checking out of work at 5. It's a 20-minute drive to my house on the river, and then, you know, getting the kids ready, you know, getting dinner going, and then we eat dinner, we get to hang out for a little bit and play, and, you know, for 20, 30 minutes, and get the kids ready to bed and read some books and whatnot, and then they're in bed. Then my wife and I have maybe 90 minutes max to hang out. And that's not why I became an entrepreneur. So, and starting to talk to our team members and our customers and stuff too, that's not why they did. So that's one of our missions, is with our software and with our training, with our team, we want to help you regain that time in your lives for the things that matter. That time's precious. So that's a mission that people can get behind. That's a mission that actually matters in the world. What's your mission? Do you have a mission that's going to attract an A player? Do you have a mission that's going to attract that rock star? If not, that's probably one of the first things you should do. Find a mission that excites you at your core. Because if you're not excited at your core about why your business exists, there's no way a rock star is going to be. There's no way an A player is going to be. So that's your first homework. All right. Then the next thing, you know, once again, that rock star's got to have a vision and mission to follow. The next thing is they've got to believe that you can actually tackle it. You know, it can't be this thing that's just insane. They've got to believe that they can actually tackle that and make a difference in it. All right. And it's got to be tangible. It's got to be tangible. I know. So you've got your mission, then you pull it back to, okay, the vision is how you achieve that mission. You know, what is it that you're going to do? And our vision, we basically lay out 5 core strategies. Here's our focus for the year. So the team is really clear on how we're gonna fulfill that vision and mission. And then we roll it back into the projects and the efforts within the company that each quarter we're gonna focus on. So A players can really see the clarity. Okay, here's the mission. Here's our vision on how, you know, our 5-year vision on how we're gonna be playing that out. Here's what our core focuses are for this year, for this calendar year. And then, cool, I can completely see how I can make an impact in this business. I can see how I can improve this stuff. You know, I can improve this stuff. And that's one of the things that you'll find from A players, from those rock stars, is when you're asking them questions, they're not people just saying, they're not just repeating back the things that you already know about your business. They're not just repeating back the things that they could find on your website. They're coming to you going, you know what? I found this, though, and I'm really concerned about this. What do you guys think about this? Or they're going, hey, I noticed this. Why don't you guys do it this way? Or why is it that you guys do it this way? Okay, they should be asking questions because those people, those rock stars, they are people who are not okay with the status quo. They're people who are not okay with subpar systems, with subpar aims, with subpar clarity, with subpar strategy being in place. There are people who should be coming to improve your organization, not just plug into your current processes to work on your stuff, all right? So that's a very, very clear distinction between, you know, a B player versus an A-plus player. A B player is someone who's going to come in, they're going to plug into your systems, they're probably going to do the stuff, they're probably going to do it well, they're probably going to do it on time and be consistent. Hopefully they're a culture match, okay? But they're probably not going to dive in and really improve your organization a ton. They're going to do well within the bounds that you've already set, maybe adjust and iterate a couple things, but they're probably not going to make a massive effort to improve things with their expertise and skill set. An A player is going to come in and sometimes be, you know, be like a bull in a china shop. They're going to come in and they're going to see all kinds of opportunity to make an impact. They're going to see all kinds of opportunity for things to improve. So if you are, if you're looking for someone just to check boxes and follow steps, then, you know, find the best possible person you can find for that type of person. Make sure they're a culture match for sure. Make sure you're selling them on a vision they can be excited about. Make sure you have a great workplace that they want to work for. Okay, but you could probably get by with a B or a B-plus person in that role if they're okay with not growing in the organization. I mean, that's a key. You've got to know what they want to do in that job. Do they want to grow? Do they want to stay where they are? Okay. But an A player, okay, if you're looking for someone to come in and improve a part of your business, if you're looking to come in and have someone add system, add expertise, up-level your business in some way, you're going to have to find an A player. You cannot settle for a B, and heavens, do not even consider a C player. They will be like a cancer in your organization. They're going to be second-guessing things in your business all the time. Not adding suggestions. They're just going to be bringing problems and negativity. They're probably not even a great skill set match, and they're a person you probably got cheap. They're a person that you're like, hey, it was a warm body. I can plug them in here. They're willing to do the work for this hourly wage. They probably have a decent skill set there. But they're probably going to be a cancer on your organization. Drag you down. Get the C players out and get them. You know, they should be in an organization in a role that they can thrive in if it's not in your company. All right. So those are really key differentiators. You've got to look for exactly what you need in your business. Don't have expectations that aren't realistic. If you bring in a B player thinking they're going to bring in all kinds of ideas and change your business, you're going to be disappointed. If you bring in an A player and think you're going to you're going to have that person just follow your processes and systems and you don't want them to iterate them and improve them, then you're going to get really frustrated because they're going to get frustrated and they're going to leave. So how do you go about building that team? The first thing I would do is I'd do this. Whip out a piece of paper. Okay, write at the top of that piece of paper what your company mission is. Now, it's probably going to take many, many, many iterations on this. Okay, don't put the pressure on yourself that you've got to come up with it now. It took us 18 months to 2 years to iterate to where we are, and I'm sure in probably another 2 years we'll probably iterate it again. Okay, the core thing that you should be looking for with what you write in that paper is this thing exciting to me, and does it hit me at my core? Like, am I already baking this into everything I do in my business and life? All right? Once you find that, then you know that you nailed it. Okay, put it in there, get excited about it, because it's something you're already excited about. It's not something you're making up, all right? And then just keep on iterating it. Keep on iterating until you found it right. Because you've got to have a mission that you're going for that the A player can believe in, that great, great team players can believe in. If you're an investor and you're doing 5 deals a month, what is that mission? Our mission is to fundamentally change the way that Phoenix houses are sold and bought, and improve the home buying and selling experience for thousands of residents. Like, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's pretty darn cool. Our vision, how are we going to do that? Well, the way that we're going to do that is by building a great, insanely great team that cares about the client, by being the single best marketer in the entire business, and blah, 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 whatever, being the most credible source that shows up to that seller, to that buyer, upholding the best experience for the client possible, like whatever it is. And then you dial it back and go, okay, what are the things, what are the initiatives, what are the projects we need to put in place this year to actually fulfill on those things? Okay, so have those in place in a basic level, at least your mission. Because that's something your employees, your team members can sink their teeth into. They can get excited about. People will leave their jobs for a more exciting mission on the other side of the fence. Okay, second thing. Identify in your business if you're looking for someone to up-level your business in a certain spot or just plug into a role. If you're looking for someone to up-level, you're going to have to really, really go through a lot of applications and make sure that you're going for A players only. If you're looking to plug someone in a spot, B players are okay. Okay? And then third, what you're going to want to do is find, you know, kind of write down the places that you will look first to find those people, because usually the best people that you'll find, the A players are likely going to be coming from your current network at the start. Okay, so that's one of the big important things about building a network. Anytime, God, this is one thing I'm always doing. I don't really collect fancy things; I collect people. I'm a people collector. So anytime I see someone who I just see something in that person. I see a lot of potential in them. I see a potential for leadership. I just see they're amazing. Even if I don't see a position in the company, in our company, for them right now, I plant the seed. I'm doing this all the time. I'm like, man, I'm just going to be upfront with you right now. Now, I just think you're awesome, and I think you have such a great skill set here. We're going to find a way to work together someday. I don't know how it's going to be. You're either going to be an employee here, and I'm going to help you reach your mission, your goals, and we're going to nail that together, or we're going to find some way to work together, man. But I just so am connecting with where you are, where you are in your skill set. Like, I am always planting those seeds with people, and I let them know. I'm like, I don't know where it's going to go. It might not go anywhere. It might be just, hey, we're going to be friends or acquaintances, but you never know where these things go. And I'm planting seeds like that all the time, because when that time comes to fill a role, you've got all these seeds planted. They know that you're a person who's excited. They know that you're a person who has mission, who has vision, who is someone that man, once that, if that person came to me and offered an opportunity to work for them, I'm going to actually look at that and think about it. You know, that's a big deal. So always plant those seeds. And that's the first place that I always go to hire. Okay. With us, we tap our local network here in Roseburg. We've built a really good network of people with our young entrepreneur group. We send an email out there to everyone. I always hit up my Facebook stuff a few times, okay? Because oftentimes people that are following you on Facebook, if you're being inspirational and you're being a good leader, they'll listen to what you're doing and they want to work with you. Another thing that we do is we have our customer list and prospect list here at Carrot that we always email our job opportunities out for. So what can you do there? You know, are there, if you're a real estate agent, are there appraisers or title, you know, people or other agents or assistants here or assistants there or your clients that you can reach out to and say, hey, I know you've worked with me in the past. I really enjoyed working with you. We're really growing. We're doing some exciting things over here right now. I think for the right person, this role that we're hiring is going to be amazing. We're going to be so looking forward to growing with that person. Here's a link to this job description. We're going to be taking applications here over the next several weeks and hopefully bringing aboard an amazing person. I thought you might know someone who might be a fit. And that's the way that I always pose it, is you might know someone who might be a fit. Even if I think that that person is a fit, sometimes I won't be overt and I'll say, hey, you know, I know you know some amazing people. I thought you might know someone who might be a fit for this. That person sees the job then and like, shoot, I might be a fit for that. You know, so that's something I'll do all the time. Especially if the person already has a job. That's something I'll do a lot. If the person already has a job, I'll kind of use that one. All right. And then the next thing that I'll do is I'll create a really good and thorough, and you guys can see the way that we do it. So go to oncarrot.com/careers. And based on the time that you see this, there's going to be certain jobs open, certain ones not. But you'll see a pretty darn thorough job description. You want to be very thorough and very specific. One thing that I always do, pardon me while I unroll my window to open up our gate at our house. One second. One thing that I'll do, listen to this, listen to the crickets. The crickets and our little stream running through our front yard. So one thing that I'll do is I always start with the culture, okay? Because culture fit for us is the very most important thing. So start with the culture stuff. Talk about your company. Show some cool pictures. Get them excited about the culture first, okay? If they're excited about the culture, they're going to read the rest. And then walk through the skill set that you're looking for. Because if they don't have that skill set, they're probably going to bounce. You want to make sure they have the skill set. Next, walk through what the average day in the life is for that person. Okay, walk through what your average day is going to be like. Now you get into, after that, now you get into benefit, you know, you get into, hey, this competitive compensation, blah, 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 whatever. And then what you do is have them take the first step. So what we do is we say, email these exact things, like we give very specific instructions, email these exact things to this email address. And we kind of throw in a gotcha in there. We see if they pay attention to a detail. And anyone who doesn't email us exactly what we ask for, the exact way we ask it, the exact subject line in the email, they don't make it to step two because they didn't pay attention to detail. If you can't pay attention to detail when you're applying for a job, there's no way you're going to pay attention to detail when you're 6 months into that job. Okay. So the next thing is then we pass them through that next step, and you guys can check some of it out. But our first real step is if they submitted everything correctly and their resume and their cover letter all looks okay, And they seem like they're a good person. We pass them on to step two. And even by this time, I'm not involved in it at all. We wrote some canned replies for step two that advance people, certain check boxes that our team goes through. And if they follow these, and if they feel like it's a culture fit themselves, and if they seem like they're a good person on there, then they advance them. I don't touch any of that. Okay. So your team members are actually vetting the culture fit of these hires. And then the step two is a hard one. Like, this is something where for our team, like, it's not going to be easy to apply for a job at Carrot. You are going to be, it's probably going to be several hours in getting this stuff together for our company based on the role you're applying for. And of course, we're going to be iterating this as we go, because sometimes if there's like this amazing rock star you're headhunting from a different company, they're probably not going to jump through a lot of those hoops to do this stuff. So just take some of this stuff with a grain of salt. It depends on the type of role and the type of hoops you want to make people jump through. Okay. But for this one, we start to get, we have everyone submit a video interview. Okay. We say, cap it at 3 minutes, tell us these exact things, ask them a hard question, ask them a question like, on a scale of 1 to 10, are you weird? Or what is the most awkward experience you've ever had in your life? Or what is the hardest thing you've ever had to go through in your life? Or what is the thing that you're most embarrassed about yourself? Or what's the thing that you're most proud about yourself? Something like that that knocks them off of their normal thought process, so they get uncomfortable. You want them to be uncomfortable in that video so you can see what it feels like, so you can see how they react. Okay. The next thing is we always do a couple random things in there, depending on the role, like one that we're hiring out right now. We had 20 something really good applications. We've narrowed it down. We had a lot of applications, actually. We've narrowed it down to a handful of in-person or Skype interviews. With that role, we had them build a website. Like, we had them physically build a website and create a life list on that website and some other things. Okay. With us, one of our core values, you know, several of our core values feed into a life list, right? It's be adventurous and creative and open-minded, have fun, all kinds of things, consistently never-ending improvement, and one thing I encourage all of our team members to do is to write a life list, the things that they want to do in their life before they're gone. And so in the interview process, every single person has to create a life list and submit it through. Because I want to see that someone can think that way. I want to see that someone can think about the things that they aspire to in life. Because when people can do that, they can see how our company can help them get there. And when you can tie your company to the things that they want to do in their life, that's a magical, magical thing. You start to bring in A players. You start to bring in those rock stars. Okay. So once they submit that through, if all looks good, then we start to really filter them down to the in-person interviews. And that's where we start to ask them questions and get real with stuff. And just ask them good questions. There's a really, really good blog post. It's actually a LinkedIn article that Mitchell Harper wrote. You can Google it, Mitchell Harper, how to hire A players. It's on LinkedIn. It's got like 1 million views in like a month. It's an amazing article, but he walks through exact questions to ask A players, to ask rock stars when you're hiring them, and just go through that list. It's a really, really, really good list. Okay. So anyway, guys and gals, I'm going to get out, going to go join the family. Hopefully you enjoyed this episode of the Carrot Cast on how to hire A players, how to hire rock stars. And I know that many of you guys are probably looking for something different than you got here. A lot of people are looking for this, the magic bullet. They're looking for a hack. They're looking for this, you know, 4-step process automatically in the back end is going to poop out like an amazing rock star. But you don't get rock stars or A players unless they fully believe that their life is going to be in a better spot with your business, that their life, that they're going to be, make their bigger contribution with you in their business, that they're going to be able to achieve more, that they're going to be able to impact more, and that they have a clear, clear, clear path to success, what success means, and that they can make an impact in your business. Okay. Those are not easy things. And if you came on this episode of the Carrot Cast for an easy magic bullet, like I said, you're probably in the wrong business. You probably shouldn't even be in business. And this is just being tough love here. Okay. You probably shouldn't be in business if you think that hiring A players is as easy as posting this awesome Craigslist ad. Okay. If you think that that's as easy as things should be, then go find something else. Go find a job, or go be a solo entrepreneur or something like that that better fits your expectations. Because to build an amazing organization that attracts great people, it takes work. It takes commitment. It takes commitment to your core values. It takes commitment to what you want to achieve in life and impact in life. It takes commitment to a mission. It takes relentless pursuit of that mission through your vision and continually casting that vision to your team members so they always know where we're going and why it's important and how they're contributing. And that's something as a CEO, as a leader, we always have to do. And it's easy to get out of that habit. It's easy to assume that our team members know why we're going somewhere and where we're going. It's easy to assume that our team members know how they're contributing. We all get lost in that trap. But I myself have to consciously remind me, okay, you know, let's make sure, do the team members kind of walk the trap line out there? Do the team members know exactly how they're contributing? Can I help them? Can I remove a bottleneck? I need to cast some vision here. Okay, that person's kind of, you know, I can see they're kind of wandering a little bit and I need to get them excited about the vision. Let me cast some vision how they're contributing. All right. So it really takes a completely new fundamental change and different way of thinking about growing a business. So I'm going to get out, hang out with the family. You go out there and think about the way you want to grow your business. If this did not resonate with you, awesome. It doesn't have to. Okay. You don't have to build a big organization. You don't have to have any employees. I have some amazing, amazing clients and friends who have no employees and they're the happiest ever and they make a great income. Just find the type of business that makes you happy, that makes your heart sing. If it's building an organization like it is for me, I really feel like my impact can be amplified with that. And I love amplifying leaders. So for me, it's building an organization versus being a solo entrepreneur. Find your path, follow your path, and relentlessly pursue it. We'll talk next time.